You know, I didn't necessarily say it tonight, but most Wednesday nights and then on Sunday morning, Sunday nights, someone who's leading the congregational singing will say something like, okay, if you'd please stand and sing page such and such, and they give you a song number, right? Now, I know that they come up there most of the time when that works, but when it doesn't, we have... But really, what's going on? When we have our hymn book or we're looking, and as we're singing, what's really happening? We're going to talk about that tonight. I enjoy singing, don't you? And I think this will be a blessing and encouragement as we talk about let us sing, exclamation point, let us sing. Colossians chapter 3, we're still there, almost done. We're on part 19 in Colossians chapter 3. So we've been taking our time in Colossians chapter 3, which I hope you're okay with. I'm perfectly okay, and I'm sure that God's okay with that. As we look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let us sing is the title of the message tonight. I'm going to learn a little bit, I hope, tonight about singing and when we sing to the Lord. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, that's such a short verse, you know, as far as that's the whole thing we're going to look at, kind of. Let's read it again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, we looked at that last week, how that the word of Christ needs to dwell in us or find a dwelling place in us. And the way that we let the Word of God abide in us is by spending time in the Word of God. You can't ignore the Word of God and not say that you cannot then say that the Word of God's abiding in me. No, it's not. If you're not reading it, if you're not studying it, if you're not coming to Sunday school, if you're not coming to worship and listening to the messages, you can't say that the Word of God is dwelling in you. So, and what does that lead to? And it says, dwell in you richly. So we talked about being full of the Word of God. That was kind of the emphasis. Y'all remember? Okay. It says in all wisdom. Now that leads to wisdom. When we're full of the Word of God, it's on the inside, it should lead us to be able to live our lives according to the Word of God. Now in most Christian lives that I've seen, not all, but in most, there's a huge gulf between knowing the Word of God and applying the Word of God in wisdom. Now, hopefully nobody here fits into that category, but in a lot of lives I've seen it. It's like, oh yeah, I know the Bible. I can tell you how long Noah's Ark was. I can tell you how many animals he took. I can tell you that on the sixth day of creation, God created man. And I can tell, I mean, all the facts, but then it comes, well, you've been taught. Can you apply it in wisdom? So many people can't. And that's sad. But we need to let the Word of Christ, that is, dwell in us richly in all wisdom, which leads to wisdom. So be full of the Word. Now, look at what it says beyond that. Here's the part we're going to be talking about in particular, teaching and admonishing one another. Wow. Tonight, let us sing. Point number one, two things that we should be filled with when we sing. All right? Everybody still with me? Alert, awake, enthusiastic. First point, 5 points tonight. Point number one, two things that we should be filled with when we sing. When the preacher says, okay, stand to your feet. And tonight we sang, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. When we sing, I know what we do a lot of times. It's just like, some of you, I'm too tired to stand. I don't want to stand. Preacher, go, just let us sit down. And then when we're fine and we're not too tired, we get up and we're just kind of like a robot. You know, we're just like, okay, here's the words of the song. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. But, you know, we're kind of programmed that way because we've done it a lot if we've been in church for any length of time. But is that really the way it's supposed to happen? I really don't think so. And we'll be talking about that through the message tonight. But two things that we should be filled with when we sing. If you notice what I was saying about the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly in all wisdom, it almost seems to me that there's a connection between being filled with the Word and overflowing with song. Being filled with the Word and overflowing in song. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to turn there. I think my trusty assistant on the balcony. Wake up, Tim. You are awake. Sorry. I'm just kidding. I appreciate him up there. He's doing a good job. In Ephesians chapter 5, I'd almost call this like a parallel passage. From Colossians 3:16, we should be filled with the Word of Christ or the Word of God, and it ought to overflow as we sing. And that ought to tell us, too, that our songs ought to be biblical, right? But Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 20, this is what I'd almost call a parallel passage to the one in Colossians. So we're going to read that. It says, "And be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be," what? "Filled with the Spirit." Now here it is. Listen. In verse 19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Sound kind of familiar? "Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, if you put the two passages together, there's two things we should be filled with when we sing. You know, we ought not just pop up and just let her rip and not pay attention to what... I mean, really, our life should be filled with the Word of God. And our life should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you say, what does that mean, preacher? Filled with the Holy Spirit simply means controlled by the Spirit. So our lives ought to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Our lives ought to be controlled with the Word of God. And we stand and sing a song, it ought to be like an overflow of the Word of God living in me and the Spirit of God controlling me. Does that make sense? I mean, this is a big deal. Again, you know, like, oh, what's a big deal, preacher? We just get up and sing. No, I mean, really, it's bigger than that. It ought to overflow from being filled with the Spirit, controlled with the Spirit, our lives and the words that we're even singing. And it ought to be being filled with the Word of God. Two things that we should be filled with when we sing. Again, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Y'all agree with that? Just give me a little nod. You know, when you start a trip or you're driving in a snowstorm, or you're expecting a snowstorm, number one, be sure to get your loaf of bread early or else it'll be gone. Get your gallon of milk early because it'll be gone. And fill up your car with gas, right? When you're going on a long trip, you want to start out with a full tank of gas, right? Or if you think it's going to snow, go get gas in your car because you never know, we might be stranded for weeks. And you got to live in your car. Well, just like you need to have your gas tank full when you're going on a trip or expecting a snowstorm, when you sing to the Lord, we need to make sure that it's real on the inside. Number two, under Let Us Sing. Three values of singing. Three values of singing. You say, preacher, is there really any value or any benefit in singing? Well, that woman in the wheelchair today, she thought there was a value in singing. She was singing really good. We could use her in her choir. Three values of singing. Look at this verse. It says, teaching. Right after it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another. So, value number one is teaching one another. Teaching one another. Do you know the songs that we sing? Where's my hymn book? For instance, do you know the songs in this hymn book? Do you know how full of the Word of God they are? There's substance there. And when we sing those songs, guess what? We're singing things from the Word of God. And it's so rich. And we're actually teaching one another. I mean, it's like, I'm singing this song, like for instance here, no one ever cared for me. What are we teaching? God loves us. He cares for us. I remember the story behind Charles Weigel writing this. I mean, his life, he had a lot of things going wrong in life. If I remember right, I believe his wife left him and divorced him, just like, poof, we're out of here. And so he was going through a lot, and God led him. It's not inspiration like the Bible, but at least moved him to say, I'm going to write this song out. And when we sing hymns like that and songs like that, it's like we're teaching that our God is real. That our God is like the Bible. Again, it's an overflow of the Word of God in our heart. And it's an overflow of being controlled by the Spirit. And as we sing, first thing we're doing, first value is we are teaching one another. There's biblical substance to what we're singing. I mean, we don't want to sing about nothing. We want to sing about good stuff in God, right? And it needs to be biblical. Needs to be biblical. Many of our current songwriters today, they need to figure out that they need to make sure that what they're writing is biblically correct. But the hymns that I grew up on and the hymns you grew up on most likely, and the hymns we sing, man, they're so rich. I mean, you could write a theological dissertation just out of the song. I mean, they're so rich and they're so full. So value number one is teaching one another. Value number two is admonishing one another. You say, what does that mean? Encouraging one another to do right. Do you know when we come, and I really believe this. This is not a criticism, okay? We could sing louder in our church. I think we get a little bit self-conscious. You know, it's not like I'm going to prove that I can drown out somebody. It's not about that at all. But if we're, again, filled with the Word of God, we're filled with the Spirit, we're excited about what God's doing, we can sing. Even if the day's gone terrible, we can sing, right? And when we sing and sing things that are biblically true, we teach one another and we encourage one another. You know, when we sing, you don't know what effect that might have on the person sitting next to you. You say, yeah, if you heard me sing, preacher, you know what effect it'll have. It'll hurt their ear. No, I'm not. I mean, seriously, we need encouragement. And I realize that we're a little happy right now because things are looking a little better, but we still need revival. Let me tell you the truth, this world is crazy. I told Amy today, I said, I don't think we have a clue really how wicked this world is. Because we're kind of in our own little bubble in a sense. You know, we come to church and there's nothing wrong with that bubble. But we do need to go out and reach those that are not in the bubble. But I'm telling you, and some of y'all that work in the workplace, I'll bet you could tell us stories. I'll bet you it's worse now than when most of the people here were working. I bet it's worse now, and it's only getting worse and worse. I went into a welcome center today, and I heard one guy cussing another guy out. And I'm like, whoa, I thought they was going to fight there anytime. I thought I'm going to call 911, tell them to come break it up or try to break it up or something. You know how much of a brute I am. I could have broke it up with my pinky. But I'm just telling you, that made me think, you know, this world is crazy. So when we get together, we ought to encourage one another when we sing. I mean, I know I keep going back to it, but we ought to encourage one another. You know what? I don't care what kind of day you had. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And they ought to hear that and say, whoa, that's good. Right? I'll try to calm down, Amy. Three values of singing. We teach one another when we sing, if we're singing the right biblical songs that are right theologically. We are admonishing and encourage one another when we sing. And then the last part of the verse, we're going to revisit this in a moment, but notice it says, singing with grace in your hearts, what? To the Lord. We're worshiping the Lord. Is there anything or any type of our best worship that God doesn't deserve? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, when we sing, shouldn't we do it with gusto? I mean, shouldn't we do it with enthusiasm? Because we are worshiping the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one who made everything that is and made you the way you are. I mean, don't you think he deserves our praise? So why do we bury our nose in the hymn book sometimes and just like, I mean, really, we ought to be a little bit more enthusiastic than that. Now, I know some people can't carry a tune in a suitcase. I understand that. Or even a Lowe's bucket. You can't carry it in a Lowe's bucket. I mean, I get that, but that's not what matters to God. God wants it to be coming from the heart and to be real and overflowing from the Word. And because you're filled with the Spirit, and when you sing to Him, I'm telling you. Now, if you're not into it, God said, I think they could do better. But when we're into it, I think he's like, oh, that sounds good to me. They missed every note on that first line, but that's okay. Sounds good to me. I'm thankful that there are three values in singing to the Lord. It teaches one another. It reaffirms what we know. When the songs that we sing are in accordance with the Word of God that we believe is God's inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God, we admonish and encourage one another. I guarantee you, if we took a survey in here, some of you have had a bad week so far. Guess what? You might need encouragement. And when you hear somebody singing about our God and how good He is and what He's like, you're like, that's good stuff. So don't underestimate the value of you singing praise to the Lord, and we are worshiping the Lord. So three values. You see that? Teaching, admonishing, and worshiping. Two things that we should be filled with when we sing. We should be filled with the Word of God, and we should be filled with the Spirit. It is serious. I mean, when we sing, we should make sure, and if not, make sure that we're filled with the Word of God more and filled with the Spirit. Three values: teaching, admonishing, and worshiping. Number three, three ways to describe songs. Three ways to describe songs. You notice it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. And here it says, in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, there's three ways to describe songs found in this verse, and it's also described the same way back in Ephesians chapter 5, what I'd call almost like a parallel passage to this. Psalm. So what's a psalm? A psalm is a psalm. You know, the book of Psalms? That was the hymn book for the Jewish people, okay? So I'm sure I've known little choruses and little songs based upon the psalms, and then some of them are almost word for word out of the psalms. You sing a little song. Nothing's popping in my brain right now to share, but there are little choruses that we've all learned that are just according to the Psalms. So that is songs from the Bible, in particular the book of Psalms. Now a hymn, that's a song of praise written by believers, but not in the Psalms. Make sense? Everybody still with me on that? Okay, some of you nodded. I haven't seen you nod one more time. At one time, are you asleep or what's going on? Okay, all right. Psalms and then hymns. And then spiritual song. Now that's two Greek words. The word songs there is simply the word song you'd use for anything. Any song, any ode, O-D-E, ode. But it says spiritual song. One that's geared toward God, a Christian song. Now, I can't draw a line. Now the psalm part is pretty, to me, pretty obvious. I mean, I can get that in my brain. Hymns and spiritual songs, you know, I don't see a huge, you know, like, okay, this is this and this is that. But it's describing the songs that we're singing to God. And we've already established that they got to be based upon and overflow from our hearts that know the Word of God. When it comes to music, there's three criteria that I've always had to call it Christian music. Okay, y'all ready for this? This is not found in verse 16, but it's found in the Bible, and I can share it with you if you want me to at some point. And I've shared it with you before. Number one, it's got to glorify God. If the music is not glorifying God, it's not Christian music. I mean, I've heard some of these songs, and it's like, and through the years growing up and everything, I've heard some of these songs, oh, this is Christian music. And you listen to it, and you think, I'm not sure if they're talking about their boyfriend or girlfriend or their mom or their dad or God or who. I mean, in order for it to be Christian music, according to the Word of God, I believe it has to glorify God. And it's kind of like putting that word spiritual in songs. It's got to be spiritual. It's got to be directed toward God. The second criteria, the doctrine has to be right. Has to glorify God. Now, I've seen some musicians that when they play, it's obvious you're supposed to glorify them. Like, look how good they sing. Oh, isn't that good? And they play, and they're like, oh, isn't that good? And they beat their drum, and they're like, isn't that good? Nah. I mean, almost to me, a few times I've been in concerts, and it's like, I just don't even feel, my whole spirit feels a little bit uncomfortable because it's gone from looking at God to looking at me. So we got to be careful, but we can all do that. I mean, the delay three, when we get up and sing, if we're, you know, we got to guard our heart too. We get up here and say, hey, everybody, didn't we sing? You know, it's not about us, it's about God. Everybody with me on that? So it's got to glorify God. And according to what we look at, it's got to be spiritually or scripturally, that is, right. It has to be doctrinally and scripturally right. I mean, just because someone writes it down and it sounds good and has a nice little beat to it, it's like, oh, okay. Well, is it right according to the Bible? If not, I don't call it Christian singing. I don't call it a Christian song. So it's got to glorify God, right? It's got to glorify God. It's got to be biblical or doctrinally correct. And the message has to be clear. There's nothing in this Bible that's intended to be unclear. So if it's written in code and you're here to like, ah, or if it's such that the instrumentation is such that it drowns out the message, I'm telling you, the Bible is a clear Bible. It's not intended to be covered up or to be, and it should be clear to everyone. Not just, well, I understand it. Well, how many times you had to listen to it before you got it? It ought to be clear to everybody. That if I'm going to sing a Christian song, what I call a Christian song, it ought to be clearly Christian. You understand what I'm saying? And the words ought to be such that I understand what they're saying. And Joe, who hears these words, ought to understand what it's saying. I mean, where in the world do we get the right to make a song that's so unclear and fuzzy and call it Christian? That's my three criteria, biblically, of a Christian song. Everybody got it? It needs to glorify God. The message has to be clear, and the doctrine has to be right. And if it doesn't fit those three criteria, and I think they're very biblical principles, if that was the intent of my message tonight, I would have had those verses and share those with you and encourage you specifically about the clearness, but I hadn't planned on going there, so I'm just sharing that with you. Not everything that claims to be Christian is Christian. Y'all with me on that? So, three ways to describe songs: psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. Now, this I found this pretty interesting. You ready? Under hymns. Now, of course, our hymn book, we call it the hymn book. Those are written primarily by Christians, and the message is clear, right? The doctrine is right, right? It glorifies the Lord, Christian. But, you know, we had communion Sunday. You remember the last little bit of verse, the last verse I read after communion? And when they had sung a hymn, same word, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Sung a hymn. I thought that was kind of interesting. That's in Mark 14:26, Matthew 26:30, or is that 26? Yeah, 26:30. The same, those are parallel passages. And you know when Paul and Silas were in jail, remember that, in the Philippian jail? And it says that they sang songs and prayed. That idea of sang songs is the word hymn. They sang a hymn. A song that praises God based upon the Word of God written by a believer. They were singing those to the Lord. I found that kind of interesting, didn't you? And as far as I know, the only word that's really closely linked to church in Hebrews 3:12. Did you get that one in, Tim? Yeah. No, you got 2:12. You might be right. Yeah, it's 2:12. I'm sorry. 2:12. Can't even read my own writing there. It's saying, and I'm not going to park here long, but it's saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. The idea of singing praise is the same word for hymn. Sing hymn in the church. I found that kind of interesting, didn't you? I think the hymns of the faith, those that are solidly based upon the Word of God, is what we should be singing in our churches. I really do. Next point. Point number one, two things that we should be filled with when we sing. We should be filled with the Word of God. We should be filled with the Spirit. Number two, three values of singing. We teach one another. We admonish and encourage one another. And we worship the Lord. Three ways to describe songs: psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Number four, the proper attitude when we sing. The proper attitude. There is one proper attitude when we sing. You know what it is? It says, after it says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. Grace. When we sing, there ought to be grace in our heart. What's grace? Unmerited favor. We ought to be so overwhelmed and thankful and grateful that God showed us grace. I don't deserve to be saved. I'm not saying this too loud, but you don't deserve to be saved either. But because of God's grace. And when we sing it, preacher got me to get up again. I thought we were settled in for the nap, for the sermon. I mean, really, I'm exaggerating. I don't think anybody really, well, not too many think that. But really, when we get up, we ought to say, you know what? I am so grateful. I got so much grace in my heart that I'm going to sing. Now, the idea there in Ephesians, it talks about giving thanks always for all things. So it's like having grace and being grateful and being thankful in your heart. And I know sometimes that's hard. You've had a hard day. Someone said something mean about you. You know, it says your mama wears army boots or something. And you're mad or you're upset or whatever. And your cat died and your tire went flat. And, you know, your football team lost and all that. But really, 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 the grace of God ought to overshadow all that. And really, we ought to be able to stand and sing with enthusiasm, with grace in our heart. That's the one proper attitude when we sing. An attitude of gratitude, gracious and thankful for God's grace toward us. You know, I'm a firm believer that singing should be fun. I mean, really, it should be fun. You know, I've heard of choirs, just heard of. I don't think I've ever been part of a choir. But I've heard of choirs when they practice, it's like, you know, you missed a note there, John. John, let's sing this again because you missed that note. Or somebody's really off in this here group. Well, I couldn't do that with our choir because I'm the one that's off half the time. I was like, preacher, you're off. But I think, you know, to me, if it's not fun, I mean, I'm not saying a barrel of monkeys. I mean, we're singing to the God of the universe. Absolutely. I get that. And it's serious. But at the same time, we ought to be enjoying ourselves. And I'm just saying, I've heard of some choirs that's kind of like, you know, and it's not, you know, I said, well, do y'all laugh or joke or have fun or anything? No, not necessarily, I've heard people say. And it's like, well, we do. And whenever a choir stops being fun, I'll encourage everybody to drop out. But until it ceases to be fun, come on and join. Get in there. And I think singing ought to be fun. Because we got grace in our heart. Because God has saved me. This world is, boom, it's gone. Before we know it, I'm telling you, we might die tonight. We don't know. Boom, it's gone. All because of God's grace. Let us sing. Title of the message. Number one, two things that we should be filled with when we sing. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Number two, three values of singing. We teach one another, we admonish one another, and we worship the Lord. Number three ways to describe songs. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalms, the book of Psalms, hymns, songs written to praise God by believers, but not in the Psalms, and spiritual songs, kind of the other Psalms. It's kind of, you know, spiritual, those that are spiritual, based upon the Word of God. Number four, proper attitude when we sing. We ought to be singing with gratitude and grace in our hearts. Number five, last point, one ultimate receiver of our songs. One ultimate receiver of our songs. What does it say? It says, and I hit this earlier, but singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Even if your neighbor's an old stick in the mud that you're sitting next to, and they don't sing, and they look at you funny when you hit that high note or lack thereof and miss it, that high note or whatever. We got to keep in mind that the ultimate receiver of our songs is the Lord Himself. We are ultimately singing for God. We're not singing so other people will say we're great singers. We're not singing so people say, boy, they sure hit that high note, right? We're not singing just to fit in. We're not singing just because we're supposed to sing. We're singing to the God of the universe. You know, He's listening. He's listening. You know, I was thinking about this. When you have children in a kids' choir, who are you listening for? You're listening for little Junior. I mean, you know, the kids are doing a concert, maybe at school, maybe at church, whatever, and you're like, oh, I think I heard Junior's voice. I mean, we're kind of listening, right? And in a similar way, Christmas program, oh, yeah, the best one in the program was my grandchild. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're listening for their part. We're listening. Can I say that individually, each one of us, God is up there listening to our part. And I think when we come with the right attitude, again, when we're filled with the Spirit, controlled with the Spirit, and our lives as best we can, we're letting God control us, that we're full of the Word of God. When we're singing with gusto, teaching and admonishing and worshiping Him, when we have that grace in our hearts, I think God's like, hey, that's my child. I'm listening to him. Boy, don't they sound good down there. And I'm sure he says it with a southern West Virginia accent. I'm sure of that. But God is listening. God is listening. Tonight, let us sing. Let us sing. Singing is an important part of the Christian life. I don't understand Christians that don't sing. I mean, sometimes we get them in our church and it's like they just... And I know some teenagers do that. It's like it's not cool to sing. To me, the coolest thing in the world you can do is sing. So even adults, it's an important part of our church. You know, I'd love next time we get together to sing on Sunday, when I say, okay, turn to so-and-so and sing, that it would be like a huge chorus of people singing out, because you're singing to God with grace in your heart. And you're full of the Word of God and full of the Holy Spirit. And you're like, you know what? I don't care what anybody else thinks. I am going to sing to my God and to my Savior. The next time we sing to the Lord, let's realize how important it is. How important it is. And do our best to sing. You know how dry church would be without singing? I mean, seriously. I mean, I love the Word of God, and the Word of God is to be the... I believe that's why we're here, is to learn the Word of God and to be taught and to hear preachers and teachers. But you know, how dry would our services be without singing? I was department director at Tennessee Temple, the school down there, as part of the church. I was volunteer. But I was a department leader of all of the Sunday school classes of all the students at Tennessee Temple, the single students. And I was given a mandate. They used to sing in the opening, and I was given the mandate not to sing in the opening. And I'm like, man, they took it out on me. They didn't like it. And it's dry. Just be thankful for the gift to sing. Be thankful that we have a reason to sing. Be thankful that when we sing, we're encouraging other people around us. We're sharing forth the Word of God. And we're worshiping the God of the universe. And we have so much to be grateful for. Hopefully the next time we sing from a heart that's full and overflowing of the Word of God, controlled with the Holy Spirit. We can sing with joy and thanksgiving and gratitude and grace in our hearts and have fun as we do it. And if we're singing directly to God, which we are, we ought to be thrilled to death that God is listening to us praise Him.